The future of our taxes, plus the perverse way disasters boost the economy. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Still smarting from their defeat in their effort to roll back Obamacare, Republicans are turning now to tax reform. It's the party's latest hope for a big legislative win before the 2018 election cycle, and something that affects every woman, man, and child in America. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams is live here from Washington. Kimberly, we're supposed to get an outline of the plan later today from the administration. What do we know now?
So the president gave a preview of some of the big themes yesterday with a few elements that are supposed to be in this big GOP tax plan. We'll see changes to the standard deduction, personal tax rates, corporate tax rates, movement on child care tax credits, lots of things to dig into.
But let's zoom into a couple pieces here. What did the president say about the rates?
So on personal rates, the president said middle-class families would see their taxes cut, quote, tremendously. We'll look for hard numbers on that today. And that may be tied to his plan to double the standard deduction, which is a flat deduction that many people take on their taxes rather than itemizing. And multiple reports over the last week or so have said the plan will drop the corporate tax rate from 35 to 20%, which is still higher than the 15% that President Trump wanted.
And the president is also talking about simplifying this whole tax code and tax return stuff. Any specifics there?
Right. This is something politicians love to claim that they can do. This particular plan talks about maybe reducing the number of tax brackets, we believe. Here's what the president said.
But under our plan, the vast majority of Americans will be able to file their tax return on a single page without extra record keeping and all of that paperwork.
Now, a lot of what we've heard about the plan will reduce government revenues. How they plan to make up those losses and pay for all these changes, we'll hopefully find out today.
Kimberly, thanks. College basketball's big business, but there is dramatic new evidence that all that money is corrupting the NCAA system. The FBI has arrested 10 people, including a marketing executive at the sports apparel maker Adidas, and four big university assistant coaches in a bribery investigation. Federal authorities allege money from Adidas flowed into the hands of college players and their families to get them to attend a college program sponsored by Adidas. Authorities say money also flowed to coaches to get them to funnel players towards specific agents or financial advisors, people who coached at Auburn, Oklahoma State, the universities of Arizona, and Southern California, USC. Lee Eagle is a professor at New York University's Tisch Institute for Sports.
Here comes the crime thriller kind of stuff. How high did it go? How did the assistant coaches fit in to the whole scheme that's alleged to have occurred? And who else and how high up knew about it?
Now, Lee, what do you think? I mean, clearly the criminal process, it'll get continued attention. That could serve as a deterrent in the future to people who are thinking of being on the take in college sports. But is there more the NCAA could do to reform the culture?
College basketball is big business. And if there's anything the NCAA and institutions need to get around to, it's really reconciling what to do about this balance between business and the notion of student athlete. But it's a lot of kicking the can down the road and a resistance, an understandable resistance, but a resistance to looking at the college basketball world the way that it is today.
Lee Eagles at NYU. The government revises its calculation of American economic growth tomorrow morning. A pretty strong 3% annual rate is what statisticians think at the moment. Now, this is winter to spring. The spring to summer quarter could be affected by the hurricanes. Storms could produce a boost. You see, GDP likes disaster. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains.
With hurricanes come dollar estimates of how much the devastation will cost.
Early estimates point to tens of billions of dollars in damage.
Lloyd's insurance, $131 billion.
$150 to $200 billion.
That last estimate is from Moody's Analytics. It's the damage to homes, vehicles, roads, and bridges from Harvey and Irma. Chief economist Mark Zandi predicts the lost economic output, wages, factory production, tourist visits, will reduce third quarter gross domestic product. And then?
Most of the rebuilding and the add to growth will probably be in the first half of 2018.
Zandi says the billions in lost property and infrastructure won't be counted as a negative and subtracted from GDP ever.
It's not intuitive, but no, that's not what GDP measures. GDP measures the value of all the things that we produce. This is a hit to what we've already produced.
Then we spend billions in federal aid and insurance money to rebuild, producing more, boosting GDP. Carolyn Kuski at Wharton's Risk Center explains.
This idea goes back actually to the 1800s, and it's referred to as the broken window fallacy.
Articulated by French economist Frédéric Bastiat.
He talked about a shop owner whose window got broken, and some onlookers said, now the person who fixes windows is going to be employed and pay the person who makes glass for the window.
The fallacy, says Kuski,
destruction of capital should not be a benefit. If the shop owner didn't have to repair the window, he could have used that money for other things.
Today's shop owners could have invested in new equipment instead of storm recovery. Again, Mark Zandi.
You could argue, and I think it's reasonable, that GDP doesn't measure the loss of welfare to people and the real economic damage, but, you know, it is what it is.
Critics are pushing new measures of economic well-being to take into account lost wealth, homes, peace of mind, but we won't see that in the GDP numbers these disasters produce. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.